Make no mistake, the Trump-Pence regime doesn't want us to vote. Their plan is to either convince us not to vote or to keep us from voting altogether. Our democracy is under attack, and we must stand up and fight back. This is my favorite chant because I'm a pro-democracy activist. So here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah!
When democracy is under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
When the Constitution is under attack, what do?
Stand up, fight back!
When the president imprisons children in camps, what do?
Stand up, fight back!
When the police kill people because they're black, what do?
Stand up, fight back!
President Trump is inciting violence against black and brown people and stoking bigotry to divide the nation and get himself reelected. Meanwhile, immigrants remain in detention. Children are still separated from their parents, and black and brown people continue to be killed by the police. The forces of fascism are using hate, disinformation, and voter suppression to win the election, and we must use every available means to stop them, including protesting here in the streets and getting out to vote. Thank you.
Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
I want to welcome today. Again, I'm just so excited. Thank you so much. I have Rich Crusade on, and he is a constitutional lawyer, and he's also working with Bible Studies for Progressives. And he's got all kinds of information about different, constitutional law, bringing in real justice and freedom and the truth. And to help that happen, I also have today Andy Miller's on today, and he is, you need to know his background. He's starting to open up more and use his gifts, coming out of lots of different traumas and dramas, as we all are, stepping up into our power. Yeah, he began his software programming in the 70s, early 70s, people, and it was based on education and training. And he spent his non-work time focused on technologies for a humane society, pre-internet, online communication services for the blind and challenged. And later, he helped develop and market specialized software that diagrams family and community emotional processes used in over 24 countries. He's a systems thinker, and he's now devoted his time to finding ways to fight for truly representative government and to build dialogue among us so the power cravers don't divide us. And most importantly, to learn how to interpret the flood of information now available to us to determine new guardrails and for information providers and new media, and to learn how to use these new tools to retain our collective personal power. And so welcome, Andy Miller.
Thanks, and, Lynn. I'll give you a shorter version of that next time.
Okay. But anyway, Andy Miller also, too, why he and Rich, I just adore them so much with their backgrounds, who they are and what they came to do, because both of their expertise are not mine. And I so appreciate their abilities to work together on this other level of representative government that can bring this right versus the left to the end. So, and Rich, you with your constitutional law background and what we can do and should be doing to unite. So welcome, Rich and Rich Procida and Andy Miller. Welcome. So do you want to start out, Rich, real quick with your what's going on this afternoon, or what do you want to jump in with, your what you're working on right now?
Well, there's been a lot going on this weekend, but this weekend and yesterday was Juneteenth. And so that commemorates the anniversary of the end of slavery. So there's been a lot of rallies, and tomorrow I'm going to be on Hollywood and Vine, or today I'm going to be in Hollywood and Vine at 3 speaking. And I think it's important for us to recognize Trump's having his rally today. And it was really not an accident that he originally scheduled his rally on Juneteenth at the site of the Tulsa massacre, which is one of the worst race massacres, white people killing and destroying a community in Tulsa. So this was not an accident that he chose this location and on this date. And he's speaking today, and it's still Juneteenth weekend. He may have changed it by one day, but it doesn't make a difference. It's also not an accident that his campaign disseminated propaganda displaying a symbol that the Nazis used to identify political dissidents in concentration camps. None of this was an accident. Trump is appealing to hatred. And when politicians and political parties appeal to fear and prejudice, they encourage and justify acts of discrimination and brutality. They stoke racism and incite violence, all and only for their own political gain. And this is Trump's strategy. Trump and the Republicans, along with multiple foreign governments, are using propaganda and voter suppression to undermine our democracy, steal the election, and overthrow the government. We've not faced this type of challenge since the Civil War. In fact, this is a civil war, but this civil war is being waged not just with guns, not just with violence, not just with brutality, but with disinformation, voter suppression, and foreign interference too. Foreign powers and the corrupt Trump-Pence regime are disseminating overt and covert propaganda designed to stoke racial hatred, incite institutional violence, divide the nation, discourage us from voting. And this overt propaganda is propaganda where we know what the source of the propaganda is. That's like the Uncle Sam poster that was produced by the United States government. Covert propaganda is where the source is hidden, or, well, basically purposely hidden. There's also other propaganda where this, called gray propaganda, where we don't know where the source is. And so some of this propaganda, even though it may seem to be coming from our media sources, both on the left and on the right and in the center, that's how it's being disseminated. We think it comes from the media, and we tend to trust these sources. And so that's why propaganda is disseminated through these sources. So we're not only is this a civil war that we are currently engaged in, we're coming towards the end of the civil war. I mean, the election is the end game. The Trump-Pence regime, the Republican Party, they plan to take and hold on to power by manipulating people through the ballot box. If we lose, we're going to lose our democracy, because the president has shown over and over again that he has no respect for the Constitution and the rule of law, and he has an eagerness to use the language, symbols, tactics, and policies of dictators and despots everywhere. And we even have a concern, even among Joe Biden, some mainstream politicians, that Trump will refuse to leave office even if he loses. But if we lose, we don't have any right to ask him or force him or make him leave office. This election is our best, and it might be our only chance to remove him and his regime from power. And we must use every available means, including voting, as well as protesting in the street, speaking up, doing shows like this. Everything we can do, but we also have to get out the vote and make sure that this man is removed from power. make no mistake, the Trump-Pence regime doesn't want us to vote. Their plan is to either convince us not to vote or keep us from voting altogether. And our democracy is under attack, and we have to stand up and fight back. And by the way, that's my favorite chant, because I'm a pro-democracy activist. So mm-hmm. When the police kill people because they're black, we have to stand up and fight back. When the Constitution is under attack, when democracy is under attack, when the president imprisons children in camps, we need to stand up and fight back. So Trump is inciting violence against black and brown people, stoking bigotry to divide the nation and to get himself reelected. And meanwhile, immigrants remain in detention. Children are still separated from their parents, and black and brown people continue to be killed by the police. And this is only the beginning, should Trump be reelected. The forces of fascism are using hate, disinformation, and voter suppression to win the election, and we must use every available means to stop them, including protesting and getting out the vote. So that's what I am going to say this afternoon.
Can I add something to that?
At Hollywood and Blind. Yeah, sure, please.
I agree with you, and I'd like to make a couple of additional comments. First of all, oftentimes when people are undecided or uninformed, they hear what you say, and they say, nah, it can't be that bad. You're just a political opponent. And that's the propaganda that would be waged against someone like you. I want to make an open invitation right now. Anybody who does not believe what Rich just said, contact me, andy.miller@comcast.net. That's andy.miller@comcast.net. And we'll go through Trump's tweets for a while. We'll go through the tweet he made today, which threatened protesters with physical violence. We'll go through the hundreds of tweets that he's said. If you have not been paying attention to this man, you have got to educate yourself, because it's not a question of politics. Many of my friends belong to the opposing political party, and they make a lot of good points. And I wish they were in office, because we can have some spirited discussions. There's several ways to get to where we want to go, and we can certainly have those spirited discussions. But even many of them now have formed groups against Trump. He is a man who is filled with hate, who is a bully, and who mocks anyone who's not him. It's not just black people. It's the disabled. It's the vulnerable. And fortunately for us, I've seen a lot of very smart people in the black community who now realize this is not just, it is about black lives, but it's also about reimagining a democracy for everybody, black, brown, whatever. People are beginning to finally understand the intersectionality of it. Although black young men are arbitrarily killed by police, and that's horrible, there are lesser offenses occurring every day to broader swaths of the population. Often there are many people that the current leadership demeans, doesn't feel as a full person, puts them in cages. Maybe in some cases it's financial servitude, deprive them of their right to liberty, deprive them of their right to food. Whatever it is, we are all feeling the same pinch. Now, it is possible. Fortunately, some good things have happened. Trump tried to use the military for domestic purposes, and they all said no, and that's a good thing. There's been many big leaders recently come out and speak against this. So perhaps if they do manage to do a combination of fixing the election and removing the polling places and all that, perhaps if they did barely win through corrupt means, or if he lost, we might be able to have these. He will not be able to use force to stay in office. That's a good thing. And it might not be the last. If he loses and if he wins, it might not be the last breath of democracy, but it's going to mean the price we pay will be more than you want to pay to retain it. I just can't say this enough. I've been watching the messaging, and anyone who is in denial or feels in doubt, you call me. I'll show you. You're going to be amazed what you didn't know. You're going to be amazed what you weren't told. Give me a chance, and I'll listen to you present your alternative point. But I'm challenging you. Come see me. I wanted to say
Thank
one other thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's
Andy,
another man. There's a man named Carter Woodson, who's credited with writing a book that brought about the Black History Month. And he has a famous quote. This goes to propaganda. If you make a man feel that he's inferior, you don't have to compel him to accept an inferior status, for he will seek it himself. If you make a man think that he is justly an outcast, You do not have to order him to the back door. He will go without being told. And if there is no back door, his very nature will demand one. And that's the art of propaganda.
Wow.
Well, one.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Rick.
One of the things I wanted to, one of the things I wanted to go back to was that these federal employees that have been telling us who Trump is and what he's doing and warning us, they are the ones that instigated the impeachment. And they, and now we have Bolton's book, and we have this lawyer in New York district, this attorney, district attorney, who, or federal attorney, I forget his title, who are telling us, they're outright telling us that this man is a danger to democracy and a danger to the American interest, a danger to our rights, to our civil liberties,
see, that's been,
to our
that's
freedom.
Been happening, that's been happening for years, though, Rich. The problem is the media bubble. In fact, even on Fox News, they're carrying factual information at times in between their defense of Trump. There's something about the psychological mindset of his followers. It goes to more than fact.
Right, and it's propaganda again. Propaganda being disseminated that's causing people to overlook this important fact. I mean, these government federal employees, high-level federal employees, they're not playing games. They're not doing...
They're giving up their life's work and careers to say this.
Yeah, they're very serious. And this is very serious. And they're the ones, I mean, thank God for our federal employees and for the committed public servants who are working for the government, who have worked for the government with both Democratic and Republican administrations and have tried to toe that non-political line as much as
they
possibly could.
They find they can no longer do that because it's so extreme. And you know what's amazing? So many retired military generals spoke out, but this time, active, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the active guy. In the military community, you do not speak out. It isn't done. And these active military leaders are speaking out while they're in uniform. That has never been done in history. They're speaking out and reassuring America that they swore an oath to the Constitution, not to a man. And they swore an oath to protect Americans. And that's what White House employees swear a similar oath to. I don't know what there is going through their mind. Are they cringing in fear? I don't know what their deal is. And so did members of Congress swore an oath. What does an oath mean now?
People should really start listening to these federal employees. Don't listen to politicians. Don't listen to the political parties. Don't really listen to the media. Be very critical about that. But when we got these federal employees, listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to what they're telling us. Is that
so?
Yeah,
there was a woman, 30-year-old African-American woman, last week, the highest-ranking black woman in the State Department, undersecretary, I forget for what, undersecretary of state for something. And she had it with the administration's racial policies, and she resigned. She has no political axe to grind.
Right. I read about that as well. And she was a black woman, and she did some things for Trump, you know, to support Trump candidates like Kavanaugh and others. And now finally, I don't know how long it takes some people for it to hit them, you know, but this person has spent her whole life, and then all of a sudden it suddenly hits her. Oh, this is racist. This is bigotry. This is going to cause, this is promotion of violence and murdering my people. I mean, how long does it take somebody to realize that? That's a political appointee, and she finally realized, and this is a person who was committed to Trump, committed to his policies.
But again, it's the system, because it's like I've told some friends of mine, you know, it's like we're busy doing survival or I'm trying to get alternative health care systems in and green civil services because all the big pharma's drugs can all be grown. We can stop the drug wars and have local foods and all these jobs.
But
solutions, right? But at the same time, here it is. You say, oh, go vote. Well, I mean, if I would have heard, you know, it was on the ballot, the way they kind of twist the words, really linguistics. I mean, when they put Citizens United, I would have went, yeah, that's unity. Yeah, let's go. And look what it really was. That's what people, the propaganda, that's what they don't understand. That's why you, Rich, and And Andy, really got to use your power.
When you hear something,
step it up, man.
When you hear something, ask yourself who's saying it and why are they saying it. And then, Ann, you can figure out what it means. Because you're being played. You're being wordsmithed.
Yeah.
And
whenever I hear something reform, I go, oh, no, we're in trouble.
You say what when you hear what?
Something reform, like this reform or that reform. I know that's a code word. And if you ask the voters in Atlanta who stood out in the rain in mass socially distancing coronavirus for 6 hours to vote, if you ask them about the history of voter suppression, they get it, okay? That didn't start yesterday.
Okay, well you guys talk about that, the wordsmithing linguistics because of propaganda, right? And it really is psychological warfare.
I just want to say one thing about how we receive propaganda. And I'm concerned because a certain percentage of our population may have grown up with bullies in their family. They may have come to accept threats and behavior I find horrible. And that may be why they're willing to support what's going on, because to them it's not new. They may not like it, but it's the way they begin. It's about, remember I told you I worked in human family emotions. They've grown up in a bullying environment where demeaning others, yeah, but it's my crazy Uncle Harry, he does that. And I'm worried that we can't move those people to a more enlightened position. They've been brainwashed, if you will, into thinking what they're doing is right. Might is right. The stronger weapon wins.
I know.
You know what I mean? You can
all
express
be
for your own well-being, but those people are not going to be reached with a list of facts. That's not. Their minds are geared against the facts. They've been brainwashed, literally.
I know.
So what has to be done is some form of either bringing them along directly or creating such a supermajority of those of us who know reality that eventually they will choose to follow something other than what they're following now. Maybe through self-preservation, I don't care why.
Yeah, people have a tendency to follow authority figures. I mean, there's been tests and studies, and one of the most famous one, which is kind of an unethical study, but it's cited over and over again, is that they put people in a room and said that part of the learning process, they can dress up in doctor's uniforms, look real official, to shock the person in another room if they made a mistake. And people would turn up
that.
The shock just that direction of an authority figure. So this is what propagandists take advantage of. And I wanted to talk about what Andy said about source, because some of what propaganda is it comes from the top. It comes from the top. It comes from our leaders. It comes from governments. It comes from political parties. It comes from religious institutions. So just looking at the source may not completely give us the full picture. And like Andy said, the effect, what is the propaganda trying to make us do? For example, this group
why
I'm
is the person
to,
saying what they're saying? What do they want to have happen? What's their motivation?
Right, and what are they
it's
trying
usually
to
make money or gain
do?
Power?
To gain power.
Also, Rich, I don't know if you read Rich, but they fired the head of all the Voice of America networks this week, and they got rid of all the boards of directors.
The Voice of America, is that like a propaganda? That's like a
It's American. It's been American propaganda for 50 years. It's a whole series of networks that include Radio Free Europe and a bunch of those types of things, and they just fired everybody and put a Trumpy acolyte in charge of the whole thing.
I wonder if that's in response to Kim Jong-un's or his sister's yelling about the people sending propaganda by balloons into North America. And
it just goes to show you that domination culture does not know gender.
Yeah. And so I wonder if he's doing that in the response to the demands of a fellow dictator or despot.
Well, I'm thinking he may be setting up a political media network for his, quote, re-election, unquote.
That may be possible,
too. Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure he would use that for his purposes. But this is if this has just happened now, then the timing is very, very interesting.
This week,
because that's when Kim Jong-un and his family were complaining about propaganda.
Yeah, didn't North Korea blew up the diplomacy station this week, too, the station where they'd been doing diplomatic agreements. I also heard that the Juneteenth celebrations were moved to today to counter-program Trump. But one more thing I want to say. I am hesitant. I don't label. I don't yell an alarm. I'm the kind of guy that goes into a movie theater and sees the best film ever produced, and they ask me how it was. I shrug my shoulders and say it's okay. So when I tell you out there in Radio Land that this man is a serious problem, you don't get that out of me usually. You have to pry stuff out of me. So it's on a scale of 1 to 10, we're at about 2,000. So.
Yeah, we try not to use name-calling and other propaganda techniques like that. And in the end, it really doesn't provide us with evidence. I'm always trying to make logical arguments and provide evidence. So we certainly don't want to name-call, but we do want to recognize what we're up against. And what we're up against is a person who wants to be a dictator, who's willing to work with foreign governments. In fact, Bolton just revealed that he was asking China for help in his reelection, and he's asked other leaders for that. And we knew that back then.
Well, yeah, and for people following it closely, we knew that already, but most Americans weren't paying that close attention. So anyway, logic isn't enough. So I'm going to say to my passion, the people who founded this country had in mind, although it wasn't perfect, they had in mind a country where all people were created equal, and we all had rights and freedoms. And it's not been perfect. We're struggling toward it, but I see now the people marching in the streets want a country where there's justice for everyone, where we reimagine what public safety is, we reimagine what all types of law enforcement is, we reimagine what immigration is, we reimagine our economy so that there's equitable shares of the economy. And what we have in the Trump administration is a direct opposer to that, who will stop at nothing.
Exactly.
Whether it's physical violence, propaganda, money, power, threat, they will stop at nothing. The worst I've ever seen. And so it's an enemy to what we want, which is a democratic and just government. So my appeal to my friends, brothers and sisters out in the world is we have to fight for that dream of justice for all. And we fight peacefully, but ardently, and we use our minds and our hearts, and we need to explain with passion why it's important.
Yeah, I think that we really need to become more sophisticated about propaganda. We know that not everybody's going to vote, so it's really on those of us who are listening and hearing what's going on.
And those of us who, through circumstance or training, have learned to think critically and not just assume what an authority figure says. In other words, a lot of people now, especially young folk, have learned that when an authority figure speaks, they don't just grant the authority. Now the figures have to earn it. And I am pleased to say, as I look out among many people, there are a lot of people now that don't just salute authority. They actually do ask, hold up a second, does this person really, are they really an authority to me, or are they... You know what I mean? There are a majority of people now understand that authority is granted, not automatic. And that's what will probably save us.
Right. And we've lost, I mean, some of our institutions, we have at least in the church, there's people have given up on institutional religion, but they've sort of turned to institutional politics instead. And so where our politics is all governed by these institutions, whether they're political groups like the Poor People's Campaign or political parties like the Democratic or Socialist Party or governments. But I think just like people have become critical of religious institution and institutional religion, we need to also become critical toward institutional politics and towards our government. I think we're pretty critical towards government institutions. We also need to be critical towards our leaders.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.